This chapter is entitled as Passing Away of Bhishma Dev. Vyavahita Pritana Mukham Niriksha Giant military phalanx presented by Duryodhana. But as a merciful devotee of the Lord, renunciation of worldly things was natural for him. And thus he decided not to fight for worldly possessions. But this was due to a poor fund of knowledge, and therefore it is said here that his intelligence became polluted. His intelligence could not be polluted at any time, because he was a devotee and a constant companion of the Lord, as is clear in the fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Apparently, Arjuna's intelligence became polluted, because otherwise there would not have been a chance to deliver the teachings of Bhagavad Gita for the good of all polluted conditioned souls engaged in material bondage by the conception of false material body. The Bhagavad Gita was delivered to the conditioned souls of the world to deliver them from the wrong conception of identifying the body with the soul and to re-establish the soul's eternal relation with the Supreme Lord. Atma Vidya, or transcendental knowledge of himself, was primarily spoken by the Lord for the benefit of all concerned in all parts, on in all parts of the universe. Vyavahita pritanam aham niriksha sajana vadhat vimukhasya dosa buddhya kumatim aparat atma vidvayayas charanam prati paramasya tasamestu. When Arjuna was seemingly polluted by ignorance upon observing the soldiers and commanders before him on the battlefield, the Lord eradicated his ignorance by delivering transcendental knowledge. May his lotus feet always remain the object of my attraction. So, Bhishma Dev, just before leaving his body, offering his prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, when the Lord so mercifully appeared in front of him. So this is the special mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He personally came to bestow his mercy upon Bhishma Dev by granting him his vision. And naturally, when one leaves his body, seeing the Lord face to face, he becomes elevated to the spiritual sky. What to speak of seeing the Lord face to face? Even if one chants the holy name of the Lord at the time of death, he goes back to the spiritual sky. Of course, here we also have to remember that there is no difference between chanting the holy name of the Lord and seeing him face to face. It's the same thing. When one chants the holy name of the Lord in pure consciousness, he sees the Lord present there. It's not a matter of imagination, or it's not a matter of mental concoction. It is a reality. Pure chanting of the Lord causes the Lord to appear there, because the Lord is not different from his holy name. Now, for the sake of Bhishma Dev, in case of Bhishma Dev, it was a very special prerogative for him that the Supreme Personality of Godhead was present at the time of his path. And he came. It was a part of his pastime. Bhishma Dev was leaving his body, and the Lord was present there because he was present on his path. But even if the Lord is present, not present in the planet, it doesn't matter. Like there has been instances, for example, Gajendra Moksha. When the Lord came to deliver the Gajendra, the king of the elephant, an animal, just an elephant. But even as an elephant, he could remember the Lord. Because in his previous life, he was a human being, he was a king. And he became a great devotee of the Lord. But unfortunately, he was cursed by Augustine, that he would get an elephant body. Because Augustine only considered that his intelligence became gross, like an elephant's intelligence. Since your intelligence is so gross, get a very gross body, a fat, big body of intelligence, sloppy as anything. So that was his curse. Since your intelligence has become sloppy, you also become sloppy. You become an animal. But although he was born as an animal, as an elephant in his next life, but he could remember his previous. But not throughout, but at that particular moment when he was about to leave his body, he remembered. And when he remembered the Lord and offered him his prayers, obviously at the time he couldn't very extensively offer his prayers, he just surrendered himself. That's all that is necessary. We don't have to elaborately offer our prayers with select verses. But even if we just internally surrender ourselves to the Supreme, Jai Shri Shri Radha Madhava Ki Jai, Jai Shri Shri Gauri Tari Ki Jai. Even if we can just surrender ourselves, even if we just remember it, the result will be there. And what did the Lord do? He was not on the planet at that time, on this planet at that time. But he came right there. Came from the spiritual sky and he cut the head of the crocodile that attacked the elephant and rescued the elephant. So whether the Lord is present on this planet performing his pastimes or whether he is in the spiritual sky, it doesn't matter. If we remember the Lord, since he is all present, since he is omnipresent, since he is present everywhere, He is present in the heart of an universe and at the same time he is present in every single atom. Andantarastha, Brahmandantarastha. He is present in a Brahmand universe and Paramanucha also in every single atom. He is there everywhere. And with that understanding, with that implicit faith, if we pray to the Lord, he will appear. It is not that Krishna appears only in some selected cases like the Gajendra or Parikshit Maharaj or Bhishma Dev. Krishna comes to whoever remembers him. Ante Narayana Smriti. The goal of life is to remember Krishna at the time of death. That's the goal of life. And if we can remember Krishna, if we can just remember him, Krishna will come to our rescue. So that is the proper spiritual understanding. Actually, spiritual life is not a very difficult thing. Spiritual life is as easy as doing whatever we do naturally. Because spiritual life is our inherent. Spiritual activities are the inherent characteristics of the spirit soul. It's as simple as for a man to walk, fish to swim and a bird to fly. For a man, it's not difficult to walk. For a bird, it is not difficult to fly. And for a fish, it's not difficult to swim. Why? But on the other hand, if a man wants to fly, it will be difficult. If a bird wants to swim, because that is not their inherent characteristics. It's not their inherent nature. Now what is the inherent nature of the soul? The inherent nature of the soul is to love Krishna. So will, can it be difficult for a soul to love Krishna? No. Actually, not to love Krishna for the soul is difficult, and that's why it's causing all kinds of miseries. Like, for example, if a man wants to fly and he thinks that he's going to fly and jumps out of a skyscraper, what will happen? He'll break his bones. Because that is not what he's meant to do. So similarly, a spirit soul is not meant to try to enjoy in this material nature. Therefore, when he tries to do that, he ends up breaking his bones. That's what is happening. Why we are suffering this material nature? Because we are trying to do something that we are not really designed to do. Things that we are not supposed to do, if we try to do that, we will invite miseries, we will invite difficulties. And that is what is happening in this material nature to the conditioned souls. But to become situated on the spiritual platform is absolutely easy. Just for example, if we just surrender to Krishna and accept his blessings with due gratitude, then what happens? We can see that how everything becomes so easy. Krishna has taken care of us in every single way, in every single respect, at every moment, at every step. Krishna is providing us with everything that we need. He has provided us with all the food that we need. Yes, food is essential. We need to eat food to keep this body and soul together. We need to eat. Is there any dearth of food? No. I was just reading one American lady. She was quite old actually. She was in her late 50s or maybe even early 60s. She decided to walk from Los Angeles to New York, which is about 3,000 miles. 3,000 miles means about 5,000 kilometers, one stretch of America, the entire stretch of America. She decided to walk, and she carried only a backpack, just a bed to sleep on and change of clothes. No food, nothing, and she decided not to buy any food or cook any food. She just wanted to eat whatever is available on the way. That means grass, leaves, and she did that. So that is how easy, that is how Krishna provided for us. He's eating the leaves that is growing by the side of the road. And by doing that, she didn't have to carry anything. She didn't carry any cooking arrangements, she didn't carry any food. She just picked whatever she found on the way and she walked. What does it prove? It proves that Krishna, there is abundant of food everywhere. We can try that. We can walk out one day and see whether we can survive without cooking food and buying food. So this is how Krishna provides for living entities. There is plenty of food to eat, plenty of water to drink, plenty of oxygen to breathe. So Krishna is taking care of us in all respects. So, depending upon Krishna and living our life is not at all difficult. The difficulty begins when we try to adjust in the system that modern man has created. To earn money is difficult. Money doesn't grow in trees. We can get fruits from trees, nuts from trees. We can get leaves and vegetables growing by the roadside. We can even get all the oxygen that we need. But what we created, the system we created, that we do not really consider the importance of those things. We simply want that money, and that doesn't grow in trees. In order to earn money, we have to work. That is the system man has created. Unless you have money, you can't survive. And in order to get money, you have to become one's slave. That is what modern system is saying. You want money? Okay, become my servant. Get a job. Get a job means become a servant. Employee. Employee means what? A servant. But actually with the money, why do we need money? We need money to buy the things that man has created. Or the man is hoarding. The man didn't produce the food grain. It's a gift of Krishna. It's a gift of the Mother Nature. But what they did? They hoarded it with some legal stamp. I want this much of land, or I bought this from you, who produced it from the field. And then they stock it in a warehouse. And then they create an artificial scarcity. And then they say, unless you pay me such and such amount, you can't get it. You starve to death. So this is the unfortunate arrangement of the demoniac civilization that is prevailing all over the world today. So, to become a devotee of the Lord or to depend upon the Lord and live our life is not at all difficult. We can see a bird, and does it have to go and work? A bird doesn't have to work because it knows that whatever it needs is there in abundance. But a donkey has to work, isn't it? And the donkey is famous for it? Stupidity. A donkey. Why the donkey is famous for its stupidity? Because the donkey has to slog like a donkey to get the food. He has to carry all the big burden of his master. Therefore, an ass or a donkey is considered to be the stupidest of all animals. There's plenty of grass. There is no dearth of grass. All the donkey needs is some grass. And there is no dearth of grass. But because he's a donkey instead, he thinks that unless he carries the big burden of his master, and unless the master gives him the grass, he will starve to death. Now human beings are even worse than donkeys. Today, the human beings have become even worse than donkeys. And they think that unless they work like a mad dog, mad donkey, you don't get the money or you don't get the food. The only intelligent people, they are on strike. We are not going to submit to your system. We are going to create our own system depending upon. And that is what Krishna consciousness movement is actually meant for. Jashmin Prati Shloka Janatama Viplava. It is meant to create a revolution all over the world. What kind of revolution? Revolution against the so-called system that they have arranged. And that's what Prabhupada has been pointing out. Once Dalmia. The origin of the name Dalmia, and his name is actually Jainal Dalmia, from Delhi, came to see Srila Prabhupada in Vrindavan, with his three of his daughters-in-law and their children. At that time, Prabhupada opened the Gurukul in Vrindavan. And Prabhupada was telling Mr. Dalmia, he's an old man, very nice man, very pious, with a lot of contribution in the religious field in India. So Prabhupada was telling him that he doesn't need to send his children to the modern schools, the schools that have been created. And he asked him to send his grandchildren to the Gurukul. And Prabhupada was pointing out that the school, the education system, the modern education system is simply to create servants. It's a Sudra culture. Why does one go to school? Why does one go to college? Why does one go to university? Why? Nowadays, what is the purpose? To get a job. To become a servant. They are learning how to become a servant. A big PhD. But what is his idea? That I will get a job somewhere. A good job because I'm a PhD. A so-called scientist. What is his thing? That he will get a chance to earn some money somewhere. He'll be employed. Even the military schools, so that they can become an army or air force officer. Big school, like Sandhurst or West Point in America. But the purpose is education is to get a job, whether in an army or a laboratory or just at the local level. Like engineering degrees. What do they get? Just become a mechanic. So that's all this education system is about. And Prabhupada told him that your grandchildren don't need to get a job. They don't have to study to get a job like everyone else. You have created your empire. They'll naturally become part of the family business. And they should actually become the leaders of the family. So please send your children to the Gurukul and let them learn how to become the leaders, not servants. In today's society, the problem is that everyone is becoming educated to become a servant. No one is teaching how to become a leader. And the only institution that is teaching to become a leader is ISKCON. How to become leaders, how to become brahmanas. To be a leader means he has to have the knowledge, he has to have the foresight, he has to have the vision, and he has to have the ability to guide others. That's why Prabhupada actually created ISKCON. And Prabhupada showed, he trained up the boys and even girls. 3 months, 4 months in the womb, Prabhupada sent them to different parts of the world to start a new movement, to start a new center. That is how Srila Prabhupada spread Krishna consciousness in India. Prabhupada did not just create a Shudra institution. Prabhupada's purpose was to create, to make leaders. Prabhupada used to very emphatically say that also, that the purpose of a movement is to create leaders. But in order to become a leader, first one has to become a follower. First you become a disciple, then you become a leader. It is an ideal disciple that makes an ideal guru. First you learn and then you teach. So that is the purpose of this movement. ISKCON is the only institution that is actually making leaders of the world, or has been at least designed to make leaders of the world. And if ISKCON doesn't make leaders, then we have to understand that we are not really following Srila Prabhupada's dream. We are not really following Srila Prabhupada's mission. Jai Shri Madhavan Mukherjee. Jai Shri Gaurmitai Ki. Srila Prabhupada. So, that is the purpose of this movement. That's the purpose of the institution of ISKCON. And Srila Prabhupada has designed it in the most perfect way. Yesterday I was actually thinking that what ISKCON is for. ISKCON, we can see ISKCON as a school. But what one learns in the school or in the university, one goes to the other universities like Harvard, Oxford, or Cambridge, or even Vikramaditya University, to learn what? To learn some material subject. But if one wants to study the science of the soul, where should he go? Should he go to Harvard? Should he go to Cambridge? He wants to learn about the soul. So ISKCON is the university that teaches about the science of the soul, teaches about the science of God. One should come into ISKCON simply to study that subject. ISKCON also is a gym. People go to the gym for what? People go to the gym to build up their muscles. But why should one come to ISKCON? ISKCON is a gym. But what does one learn to develop here? The spiritual soul, the culture of the heart. ISKCON is the gym where we strengthen our heart. And if you practice, that's what will happen. Your heart will become strong. Your heart will become big. Your heart will become broad. Your heart will develop all the spiritual qualities. That's what he's going to be looking for. Yes, it is a school. It's a gym. It's a club. People go to club to play some games, isn't it? Whether it is tennis or poker, like what the clubs are meant to play games. And here also we play games. ISKCON is a club where we play games. What kind of games? We play in ISKCON, in the club of ISKCON. The game of how to love Krishna. In games, you do different things to show your expertise in that particular game. Like here in Krishna consciousness, we play a game of love. And what do? There are various things we do for developing a love for Krishna, expressing our love for Krishna. Attending the Mangala Arati, worshipping the deities, cooking for the deities, keeping the temple clean, cleaning the temple, doing all kinds of things. Isn't it a game? Isn't it a game? Like when you play game, why do you play game? When you play game, do you get money for that? Of course, now it's a different thing. But generally, the games are only for recreation, only for deriving pleasure. Right? And whatever you are doing in ISKCON is actually for deriving pleasure. Don't you get pleasure by making some gardens for the Lord? Don't you get pleasure by cleaning the temple for the Lord? Don't you get pleasure by worshipping the deities of the Lord in the altar? So these are actually in ISKCON we are taking it. And that's why ISKCON is a club. So ISKCON is a transcendental school, ISKCON is a transcendental gym, ISKCON is a transcendental club. So that is what the real identity of ISKCON. And if we understand why we are here, our life will become successful. But if we don't understand, then what will happen? We'll move and we'll walk around with a glum face. Total unhappiness displayed in our face. We see that. Those who are not properly situated in this country, they are not happy. And my point is, if you are not happy here, don't be here. Go somewhere else where you feel happy. Because the human life is not meant to be morals. And don't just come to ISKCON to take any advantage. Don't just come to ISKCON to just eat and sleep. Don't come to ISKCON with a motivation. I have come here to make some money. Then go somewhere else and make money, not in ISKCON. But if you surrender yourself to ISKCON, then ISKCON will take care of you. At least as a leader of ISKCON, I can give you the assurance. You surrender to Srila Prabhupada, you serve, you commit yourself to ISKCON. I will take care of you. At least till you are alive, I'll take care of you. All that you need, I'll take care of. But please don't hang around here with a morose face and create an undesirable atmosphere. Just be happy. Be happy. You have taken to, you have accepted spiritual life to be happy. And if you are not happy here, go somewhere else where you feel happy. If you think that there is some place where you feel happier, then go there. Don't pollute the atmosphere here. Rather take full advantage of this place. You surrender and we will take care of you. That is our principle. And that is what Prabhupada speaks about. Once some reporters came and asked Prabhupada, if everybody comes, well, how will you take care of them? Prabhupada said, you bring them here and then it's my business, that's none of your business, how I'll take care of them. You bring them here. You bring them here and I will take care of them. So that is what Prabhupada's point is. And Prabhupada's formula is very simple. Chant Hare Krishna and be happy. That's what ISKCON is here for. Chant Hare Krishna and see what happens. Chant Hare Krishna and you will become happy. And if you are not happy after chanting Hare Krishna, then you are not chanting Hare Krishna. You haven't come with the right motivation. Like as I was saying, like we are playing a game here. Like when you are playing games in a field, do you look morose? If a player looks morose and just stands there without playing, then why should the captain keep him in the field? Said, let somebody else come, you get out. So play the game properly. And the game is called devotional service. At the first, we are practice, we are apprentices, we are learning how to play. And then you become expert, then we are professionals. Devotional service in practice and devotional service out of love. Sadhana bhakti and prema bhakti. These are the two aspects of devotion. We first learn and then you play. Hare Krishna, of glorious Srila Prabhupada. Does anybody have any question? Yeah, Bhishma Pancha. Actually, yesterday Radha Krishna Prabhu also was asking me. And I thought of seeing the books and find out what is the link with this 5 days with Bhishma Dev. Because this is not the time when Bhishma Dev left his body. So anyway, I'll find out. Maybe this time I'll let you know tomorrow. Yes, Radhapita?
I've made a point about creating leaders as a goal of our society. Do you feel you find it really more service-oriented people? But time and again we see, at least in the material sphere, politicians letting down their constituents by failed leadership, which creates chaos. So how do we guarantee that people can look up to a leader and follow? I mean, wholeheartedly saying this person will guide us through and through, not fail. What's the qualification of an able, stable leader?
Right. So the Sanskrit expression for leader is actually guru. And the qualification of a guru is Jai Krishna Tattva Vidya Shai Guru. One who knows Krishna and one who can impart the teachings that Krishna has given through the Vedas. He is the qualified leader. And then if we look at the apparent qualification of the leader is able to guide. And the leader is able to, first of all, the leader must be able to point out what the goal is, and he can motivate his followers to achieve that goal. That's the qualification of the leader. And in Krishna consciousness, our goal is very clear. It's not only our goal, it's the goal of every living entity. It's the goal of every living entity. The goal of every living entity is to reach the spiritual destination. Because we are spiritual beings. We are entrapped in the material nature. So what should the leader do? Free him from this bondage. Like consider, like what does a leader do? He guides, he directs to his followers to the goal. And the goal is set. Bondage, freedom from the bondage of this material nature. And the destination is the spiritual sky, where we all came from, where we actually belong to. And the leader, you know, guides the followers in that direction. And he himself is a perfect example. His goal is to reach that goal himself and guide others also to reach that. And whatever is necessary to do that, he is prepared to make all the arrangements. Whereas the materialistic leaders, the problem with them is that they do not know what the goal is. And their goal is actually money. Money is not a goal, money is actually a means. Money is important. In today's world, it has been created, and human civilization from time immemorial has this concept of medium of exchange in the form of money. So it is there, but it's a means, it's a medium. Right? It's a means, not the end. But because they do not know what the end is, their whole thing is caught up with money. They think that when they become leaders, they'll make a lot of money, and they give everybody an assurance, I'll make you make a lot of money. Right? But, you know, like, ultimately they don't fulfill their promises. And it's all because they do not know what the goal is. All the goal is material prosperity at the most. Just material prosperity. We'll make our nation one of the most powerful nations. We'll make the most powerful nuclear weapons. And that's their goal. Or we will eradicate unemployment. But they do not know how to employ people. How are they going to eradicate unemployment? Therefore, unemployment is increasing day by day. Right? But look at Krishna consciousness. Can anybody be unemployed in Krishna consciousness? Nobody can be unemployed in Krishna consciousness. Everybody can chant Hare Krishna. Everybody can render devotional service. Everybody can honor Krishna Prachanda. So, There is no lacking, and therefore there is no failure in Krishna consciousness. If we stick to the path, we are bound to be successful. And the thing is that the leader has the confidence that he is able to guide his followers, and he also has the ability to maintain his followers. But that doesn't mean that anybody can come and take undue advantage of it. Rather, he is so observant, his vision, his perception is so clear that he sees through everyone. And whenever he sees that here is somebody who just came to take advantage, he says, well, go somewhere else. Go somewhere else. And we can give you a chance, you know, rectify your consciousness. But if you are not, this is not the place. Like that is what Krishna consciousness leadership actually means. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying that his business is to clean the place, keep the place, the marketplace clean as a sweeper. What does it actually mean? Don't keep unwanted elements here. That will simply be shown. Although we are very generous, we are very broad-minded, but at the same time, we know how to make discrimination. The Visad Sutra, those who are offended, those who are not really going to be taken, avoid. So that's the difference between material leadership and spiritual leadership. Material leadership is just, a business of cheaters and cheated. But the spiritual leadership is based on perfect understanding and proper guidance. Thank you. So any other questions?